baptismal service, which generally is the highlight of a convention and a very important one for all of us, not only for the candidates that are going to be immersed and symbolize the consecration, but a very important time for all of us because it's an opportune time for renewing our covenant by sacrifice. Just before we began, I have an announcement and told that all the children should sit in during this session so that children sit with their parents as it is an important meeting, more important service. So without any further ado, let's open with 277. 277. And we'll rise on the last verse, and we'll have Brother Brad Sweeney open the service by prayer.
Gracious and loving, kind Heavenly Father that dwellest in the Most High, we humbly bow our heads before Thee in great reverence and in great thankfulness for this day and for the many wonderful blessings of being gathered here together with Thy dear children in honor and praise to Thy holy name and Thy plans and purposes which You have ordained before the foundation of the world for the ultimate blessing of all Thy creation. Heavenly Father, we ask a special blessing upon this very reverential, beautiful occasion as we are about to review the thoughts which Thou hast presented through thy dear Son, the high calling, and thy name of thy Son, Christ Jesus, we ask a special blessing upon the candidates here, that the lessons which will be presented will be one which will remind them of the symbol of their baptism, which has already been made in their heart of consecration. We ask a blessing upon our brother Sid, who will review these lessons with us. We also ask a blessing upon each heart bowed here before thee, those that have also made a covenant of sacrifice with thee, that as we review the meaning of the symbols of baptism, that we too will renew with vigor that consecration that we have made with thee, so that we may continue to be baptized into the death of thy dear Son, and that we may continue to be raised and walk in newness of life as we strive to follow in the footsteps of our dear Master and our Redeemer. We ask further blessings upon the further proceedings of this year's convention, and we ask forgiveness of our many shortcomings and failings. And we do ask all these things in the name of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have with us Brother Sid Jones, who's familiar to all of you, well known for many years serving the brethren, and he will give the baptismal service discourse here for these candidates. And it is my pleasure to call on Brother Sid at this time to do so.
Thank you very much, Adam. Thank you very much also for the prayer. What a joyful time and place to be here. I've been looking forward to this opportunity to welcome these new candidates to the fellowship of the Lord. And you make us very happy. But you're all crying. And yet we're so happy in that you're all crying. But we know that's tears of joy, isn't it? But we are so happy to see all of you here. And I know you are making your families very happy as well. Sister Carol and your mother, I know how happy she is that you're sitting in this front row. And the two Oyster girls, how happy you're making your parents and all of us for taking this very serious step to be a part of the wonderful household of faith. But you know, there's an extra seat here. Everybody see this extra seat right here, because we want to invite anyone who may have been thinking about this for a long time. And if you have been thinking about this, or you've made a consecration already in your heart and haven't had the opportunity or the time or the place to do so, this is the very time and the very place. And we would like to invite you to come forward and take that empty seat. Or any time during the service, if you are moved by the Holy Spirit in such a manner, please come forward and take that seat. You know who you are. Anyone who has this desire to know and to do the will of God, what a joyful opportunity it is to show all of us who would be witnesses to what has already taken place in your heart. These three sisters have made this commitment in their hearts already. Now we are going to be witnesses to the actual symbology of this wonderful occasion. But again, there is an empty seat. Anytime during this discourse, please feel free to come forward. You're amongst friends who will assist you in this walk and who will pray for you and desire to walk with you. This calling has been for a very limited time, what we call the gospel age call, the church, to be a part of the high calling, the wonderful bride of Christ, and what a marvelous calling it is. And we feel so blessed that many of us who are here after many, many years of walking in newness of life with our Lord, that we have the opportunity now to reflect upon some of the scriptures and events that took place in connection with our Lord and His life and ministry, and also this calling that has gone out to those who would be followers of our Lord, and in this wonderful calling that will make up the bride of Christ, that will share in the blessing of all the families of the earth in that wonderful kingdom. I think the discourses at this convention have been wonderful, each and every one of them in their separate ways, to lead us to this point at this convention, that they've more or less set the tone. This is a solemn occasion, a joyful one, and the scriptures and the various subjects that have been discussed from this platform, beginning with last evening and this morning and this afternoon, these discourses have helped to prepare the way in our hearts and minds for the event that will take place a little later on this afternoon. That is when the actual immersion will take place, and we can be witnesses to that wonderful occasion. The meaning of baptism, of course, is only a symbol of what has already taken place in the hearts of these three sisters in this front row. Water has a symbol of its own, of cleansing. And in this case of the immersion, we find that there are really two parts of this symbol, the immersion into the water and then the emergence out of the water. And as we will witness this in a little while, all three of you and anyone else who may participate will be in the hands of the immerser. You are, in this symbolic picture, putting your life in the hands of the immerser. You are helpless, and you have to put your complete trust and submission to the one who will be doing the immersing. Your life, really, symbolically, is in his hands. And, of course, the greater picture is of our Lord Jesus and how he also put his life in the hands of John, and how he was lowered into the water and came out of the water with newness of life. And as the candidates are each one lowered into the water, immersed into this water, and then are raised out of the water, it suggests to us in this symbolic picture a newness of life. But your hands are still in the hands of the immerser. And this, of course, represents this whole new walk as new creatures in Christ Jesus. I'd like to use as a text a very familiar one. It's in Matthew, the 3rd chapter. This is the occasion when our Lord came to John and asked him if he would immerse him. And beginning in verse 13, we find this a very simple account. And when our Lord asked John if he would do this baptism for him, John really felt totally inadequate to do this task. He said, "Lord," he says, "you're asking me to baptize you when really I need to be baptized by you." But, of course, our Lord spoke to John in this wonderful text, the scripture here, and showed it was God's will that this would take place. And, of course, after it did take place, we find these wonderful words from God. Now, let's read it together. Matthew 3, beginning with verse 13. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, or yield yourself to the will of Almighty God in this respect. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And then verse 16, a very powerful passage of Scripture. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. What a magnificent picture this is of God's acceptance of this a wonderful man, our Lord Jesus, who in symbol was giving his life to carry out the whole plan of reconciliation and the invitation of the bride of Christ to share in these blessings to be associated with the kingdom. And then this voice that he heard, verse 17, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now this is what our Lord Jesus did. Now if our Lord Jesus did that, if he was baptized into the water, and that's an invitation, if we're going to be followers of our Lord, that we do the same. Is it important that we do so? Well, if it wasn't important for us to do this, then why would Jesus do it? But Jesus carried out this symbol as a very powerful symbol and lesson to each one of us. If this is what has taken place in our hearts, if this is the condition of our heart, to know and to do the will of God and to serve Him, this is how we show each other as a witness to this wonderful work that is going on in our heart. And this is when our Lord was baptized by John. This really serves as a turning point in the whole plan of God for the reconciliation of the world. A very particular turning point. That is the various lessons that we have heard from this platform since last evening have suggested to us in a typical way the blood of bulls and goats and the other part of the law and the sacrifices and so on that portray a grander symbol to this in the what we call the antitype. And the typical part of this plan was coming to an end, and the antitypical was beginning. And we find this in Hebrews chapter 10. Now in chapter 10 of Hebrews, Paul is addressing this matter of the shadows of good things to come and the sacrifices that were a part of this symbolic picture of, from the Old Testament types, what we call the Levitical types, that portray something grander. And he is making the point that this only served as an illustration of this grander purpose of God. Because the blood of bulls and goats wasn't going to accomplish anything except in this symbolic picture. We'll have a look at some of these verses. In verse 4, the apostle says it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. He's making that a very serious matter. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, he's quoting here from the 40th Psalm. And if you turn to the 40th Psalm, it doesn't read quite like that. In the 40th Psalm, it doesn't say that thou wast, but a body thou hast prepared for me. that is in our King James body, Paul was quoting from the Septuagint. The actual verse there is, "Mine ears hast thou opened," or the margin is "digged." He had opened the ears of that one who would be carrying this wonderful part of the reconciliation forward. "In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure." And then carrying on a quotation from this 40th Psalm, he said, "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." And of course, this is a reflection on the one greater who would be carrying out this wonderful work, our Lord Jesus, who would have this wonderful opportunity to carry out the plan of God in the antitype. So the type is coming to a close, and the antitype is about to be opened. And as we read these verses, we see this progressiveness in thought. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offerings for sin, thou wouldst not. This is reading from verse 8. "Neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law." And of course, the law and the Levitical types were never going to accomplish anything, were they? And then verse 9, "And then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." Well, who would that be? Our Lord Jesus. "And he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." And this is when the type comes to an end and the antitype begins. I think we had some thoughts from this platform in connection with this 10th chapter of Hebrews during this convention. This is just a reflection and a bit of a review in connection with this turning point in the whole plan of God. This was the most serious point in the history of the world. The very time when our Lord Jesus was willing to put his life in the hands of John and to be baptized into the murky waters of Jordan, symbolizing his willingness to go under the polluted waters of Jordan and to be raised again to a newness of life, to carry out the whole grand plan of God that would be an invitation for each of you three dear sisters in this front row. Some of us have made consecrations many years ago. But this gives us an opportunity to reflect on some of these things, and we can't help but rejoice for the privilege of even thinking about these scriptures again in connection with what you are doing today. And verse 10, "By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." This is one of the most important chapters in connection with this subject that we have. Our Lord Jesus putting his life in the hands of John. Here, Paul reflecting on it many years later. Now, Paul, incidentally, is recording these words for our benefit here about 30 years later. Paul, at this point in writing this 10th chapter, is really looking back to that time, isn't he? And from that time, A.D. 33, until Paul was writing this, I believe it was around A.D. 64 or 5, more than 30 years had gone by. And the wonderful plan of God had made great strides forward in the invitation to those who would be associated with our Lord. And of course, at that time, in the invitation to the early church, it was just beginning. But the marvelous Spirit of God was at hand, and great numbers of our brethren followed our Lord in those early days. And then when the apostle came on the scene here in this 10th chapter of Hebrews, things were changing drastically. The apostles were falling asleep in death. Other things were coming in to disrupt this wonderful message. But Paul was standing loud and clear and strong and giving forth this powerful lesson to you three sisters here in the front row, that you have a part in this. The whole plan of God is a part of this calling of the bride, to be a part of this, what we call the mediatorship of the new covenant. This, the bride of Christ, is going to be the mediator of the new covenant, that will, in due time, serve to uplift the whole world of mankind. And just think of it, you dear sisters. Just think of it. That you will have an opportunity to share in this great and wonderful work. And you have all these dear brethren here who will help and direct and guide you in any way they can. I know that for a fact. Ask any one of them, and they would be very happy to share their time and thoughts and turning up scriptures or whatever to assist you. And then the prayers. The great power of prayer is also here on your behalf. I'd like to read something from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. For the love of Christ constraineth us, or it compels us. The word compel would be a better word. Love of Christ compels us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead. And that he died for all, and they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, that is, any longer, we could add the words, any longer, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We can see this invitation. Wherefore, henceforth, know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now I'm sure that all three of you, dear sisters, are very familiar with this passage. I'm sure you've all heard lessons on new creation, and that all things are new, a spiritual life is now taking place. That means that even though you are still in the old world, still something is taking place in each one of your lives that is spiritual. This is why it's a new creation, because it's taking place in your lives and in your bodies to walk in newness of life, walk with Jesus, and to dedicate your life to him and to follow the Spirit wherever it leads you. We won't take time to read some of these scriptures because it does take time, but in Romans 8 chapter from verses 28 to 30 is a very wonderful lesson again from the Apostle Paul in connection with those who are called according to his purpose. So if you are called, and the only way you're going to be called is by our Heavenly Father to Jesus, and that's in the 6th chapter of John. If that is taking place and you are called, it's God who did this calling. He brought you to Jesus because it's through Jesus that you have any hope of any kind of a life at all. And here Paul in this 8th chapter of Romans, and we could talk about the 8th chapter of Romans all the afternoon, but we only want to just point this out as an illustration of God's wonderful purpose and direction in this work of putting together this plan of reconciliation of which you are a part. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1:9, we read that God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. And then the one that I really wanted to get to is in Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, the apostle here addressing another group of brethren here at Rome, these Roman brethren, and in this lesson, he just portrays the whole matter of how we began this discussion of how we are immersed or baptized into our Lord Jesus' death as a human being. But because of the wonderful plan of God, we have the opportunity to be raised in newness of life in the spiritual sense. And it's a spiritual life that is taking place and that which will grow in each one of you for the rest of your walk. And the apostle here in this 6th chapter of Romans addresses this with these wonderful thoughts and words. We'll begin with verse 3. And this is a reflection on what it really means to be baptized into Jesus. That this is what baptism is really all about. Again, from the power of the Holy Spirit working in the Apostle Paul. And he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? My, what a powerful message that is. These are words that require some thinking about. We're baptized into Jesus' death? Many Christian people would have a little problem with that, wouldn't they? Because it involves suffering and death. Denial, self-denial. It involves a whole new life of seeking to know the will of God on every occasion. And if you're following the Lord and walking with Him, you want to walk very close, and especially in our day. We are living in very difficult and dangerous times. And the reason being that we are living at the end of this, what we call gospel age. And it's nearly the time when the plan of God, this part of that plan of God, will be completed. That is the calling and selection of the church will one day be completed. This is not a calling and an invitation that's going to just continue to go on and on and on forever. It's a limited time for a limited calling to a very limited people. There are only going to be 144,000 of this bride of Christ. That's not very many brethren, especially when we consider that the calling began with our Lord Jesus and in his day. And it's gone on all down through the whole gospel age. And the reason that we see the world in such turmoil is because this part of the wonderful plan of God, which is in his hands for the destruction of this old order, for the establishment of the kingdom. And this is where you fit into the whole wonderful plan, that if you're faithful, that you will be a part of that blessing to the world to help to uplift them as this spiritual calling. And then in verse 4, this is still in Romans chapter 6, therefore we are buried with him. We're baptized into his death, and now the apostle says we are buried with our Lord Jesus a baptism into death. That is, of the old creature is going to die, but the new creature is going to be nourished. And if you're faithful unto death, we are promised that we'll have a crown of life. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. Very wonderful words. And don't ever forget those wonderful words. That you are now walking in newness of life. And you know what that means. You know by the Spirit that is working in you, you have an appreciation of what that really means. To walk in newness of life. Your friends and neighbors and others outside these walls have no idea what it means to walk in newness of life, but you do. You have already been led in such a marvelous way that you have an understanding and appreciation of what it really means to be buried in Jesus' death, to be baptized into his death, and to walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And that's the great and wonderful part of this address by the apostle, is that this is the hope that we have. Oh, our old man is crucified, as he continues, that the body of sin might be destroyed. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And these are such deep thoughts the apostle is addressing, that it excludes all the worldly wise, and yet you know what the apostle is telling you. If we be dead with Christ, we also believe that we shall reign with him. And that's the wonderful hope that we have, to be a part of that mediatorship and to share in the great plan of God for the uplifting of all the families of the earth. It's worth it, isn't it? This is a calling that is it can't be compared with anything that you or anyone else could ever imagine. How can you compare this with anything in this world? To be promised the divine nature, to be a part of the bride of Christ, to share in the ultimate raising up of the whole world of mankind, and that's not just the ones that are living, but all the dead, to have the privilege to share in this magnificent work. How can you compare that with anything else? Yes, tears of joy are well in order now, aren't they? They really are. And even beyond that, who knows what the marvelous work after this world has brought back to reconciliation to God. Who knows that the work that you might have the opportunity to share in the ages to come. Have you ever thought about that? Just think. All those worlds aren't out there for nothing. It just might be that you might have the opportunity to share in such unspeakable works with our Lord Jesus as part of his bride. That yes, tears are truly in order. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus came across a little experience here with some of his disciples. And the lesson is very direct. His disciples, this is in Mark chapter 10, and it's beginning with verse 35. Now, we won't take time to read all these verses, but I think you will be familiar with it once we find our place here. James and John were two sons of Zebedee. And they came to our Lord Jesus and they were asking him a very special favor. And of course, the favor was that they had some understanding of there would be a kingdom. And they thought it would be a nice idea if one of them could sit on one hand or one side of our Lord and the other one on the other side of the kingdom. They thought this is a real good idea. But Jesus took this opportunity to teach a very good lesson for all of us. And in the course of this lesson and this response, this address here, it goes on for several verses. We'll paraphrase because of lack of extra time here. Well, what is actually taking place is Jesus made it very clear that, first of all, it wasn't his place to give out these rewards. It was God's place. But in addition to that, Jesus took this opportunity to put this question to them. He says, are you able to drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of? And do you think that you could be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Well, you see, you already have an understanding of this, don't you? You see, now because we partook of the memorial here a couple of months ago, it's not that far back. And many of these scriptures and others in connection with the cup and the partaking of the cup and the drinking of that cup and the significance, the symbolic significance of this is the sealing of this covenant that will be given for the whole world of mankind. This is the deeper significance of Jesus' answer to these, to those who thought they had the opportunity to sit on one hand and the other on the other hand in the kingdom. And of course, the second answer, also, can you be baptized with my baptism? Well, we just got through reading Paul's explanation of what this baptism is all about. They obviously didn't have the full understanding that this is a baptism unto death. But I think you do. I think you know that this is a baptism unto death. This old creature has to die. And it's a new creature, the newness of life, that will be nourished, and that's what will be in the kingdom, with a whole different body to suit the purpose and your position. And our Lord was telling that. He asked this question. And that's when he said that it is not my place to give out these rewards in the kingdom. But here we see that it's a very serious matter. And it's very serious that we know the scriptural answers. And by considering that sixth chapter of Romans, and to consider now we've all seen, brethren, immersed, and to put this symbol in mind, and then to read the apostle's explanation in Romans, the sixth chapter, we have a scriptural as well as a symbolic understanding of what it means to be lowered into the water and then to be raised out again. And don't ever forget that you're in the hands of a far grander and greater one who will be having your life in his hands all the rest of your life. But even in addition to this, another interesting point, I think this is interesting anyway, in Luke 12:50, because this same kind of question in connection with baptism and its seriousness is brought to our attention. And here in Luke 12:50, our Lord Jesus is giving us an answer and a quotation here to suggest the seriousness of this. And this is what he said. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? Now, this is our Lord Jesus. This word stricken, it carries the thought of being stressed or distressed. And our Lord had the whole world on his shoulders. The sins of the whole world were on his shoulders. Now, our loving Heavenly Father doesn't expect any one of you three sisters to have the sins of the whole world on your shoulders. We participate with our Lord, but our Lord Jesus had the sins of the whole world on his shoulders. This is even his baptism was extremely important and serious. And as we just read from the account in Mark, he made this very clear to the sons of Zebedee that it's a very serious matter. And I know each of you well enough to know that this is something that has been in your hearts and minds in connection with this and your study of the scripture and your desire to know the will of God. And this cup of joy in the kingdom, that's when we share in the uplifting of the whole world of mankind and the marvelous works of sharing with our Lord in this great work. I'm so happy for all three of you, and I know that as we will soon be bringing this part of the service to a close, and you'll be taken to this place where the immersion will take place, your baptism, and most of us will be there to watch this, to be witnesses of this, as a symbol of your heart. And again, as we are nearing the closing part of this service, may I stress again, if there's anyone here that has ever considered this, there is no better time or no better place than to walk down right now. I'd like to read Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. Now, this is for those of you who understand these things and who appreciate them and want to be a part of it. And this is the scriptural way that you are being led by the marvelous Spirit and power of God working through the great apostle to write these things down hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and how relevant they are here this afternoon here in Yorkton. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's the prospect, that's the promise. Well, don't ever give it up. And don't ever get discouraged to the point where you would not come to appreciate the full meaning and depth of these words. These words are written for you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Don't ever forget those words. And Philippians chapter 3. There's a great deal in Philippians that is pertinent to the great apostle and his desire to serve the brethren, to walk in newness of life, and to give his life for the brethren. And by doing so, he has been this tremendous help to so many down through the gospel age. And it's really hard to find any place in the Philippians to narrow it down to this marvelous calling that you are responding to. But I think if we turn to chapter 3. This is Philippians chapter 3, and if we start with verse 10, we'll read just 3-4 verses here to show the significance of what this meant to the Apostle Paul, who was also lowered into the water and was giving his life and preaching and ministering to this great plan of God that he knew he was a part of. And the invitation is one of the great pillars of the church. And this is what he said: that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. You see the depth in these words, very choice, chosen words. These are very special words. That I may know the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. See, this is why the apostle could write that in the 6th chapter of Romans, because he was explaining what that means, and he's bringing this to the attention of these brethren at Philippi. If by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. See, Paul had that marvelous understanding. He had that great hope of that choice place in the kingdom to be a part of this mediatorship, to bring these blessings to the whole world of mankind. Not as though I had already attained it, or either were already perfect, but I follow after. And if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. See, the apostle wasn't disturbed by all the other things that were around him, and you're going to be disturbed by all kinds of things, because we're living in a world of turmoil, aren't we? But don't ever forget, this one thing I do. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling all of us, and he's telling this to you right now. This one thing I do. Make this a total commitment. Don't ever be swayed. This one thing I do. What is it? Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. And again, he just goes from one thing right to another in these powerful words. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're all striving to do. And that's what we're all hopeful that we could be a help to you in any way. Anyone here in this room would help you to encourage you to do the same. This is about the conclusion of this part of the service. Now I have some questions to ask each one of you. And I have a scripture for each one of you. So I invite you three sisters to come and stand here facing the audience. And keeping in mind the scripture, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Okay, first of all, we need to know which brethren here have vehicles that they can drive. The friends that do not, how many plan to drive to the site of the immersion service? What we'll do immediately following the close of the meeting, we'll let the candidates leave first. There's some sisters here that are looking after them. We'll let them leave the facility first, and then I will then go over the directions of how to get to the facility. So we'll close this session right now, and then we'll go over the directions of how to get there after the candidates have left. So we'll turn it over to Brother Adam, and then we'll go through that.
Thanks, Brother Brian. Thank you, Brother Sid, for your service here to the candidates and the
lessons and the instructions from the Word of God in carrying out this covenant of sacrifice to which you have committed yourself. And for that, we do appreciate Brother Sid's effort to bring from the Word of God all of the truths and thoughts connected with this in order to that the candidates might be fully informed of the decision they have made and that they might thereby continue in serving the Lord. We will close with hymn 104. And after the singing of the hymn and closing of the service by prayer with Brother Sid, we would all ask you to sit down for a minute or two for some instructions and some announcements. Let's close with 104, I Come to Thee.
Thank you.
Father, we thank Thee that we can be here this day in this place and to be witnesses to that which has taken place in these three dear sisters. We thank Thee for the wonderful invitation that we have all experienced in this calling, that we may be a part of this great plan of reconciliation for the uplifting of the whole world of mankind. And we pray that Thy blessing will be upon all who are bowed here in Thy presence, those who would like to have been here but were unable, but especially for the three sisters who will be soon baptized. And we pray that You will be especially with each one of them, that they might grow in grace and in knowledge and be led by Thee in Thy wonderful Spirit of truth, that they may all be faithful, that they could hear Thy well done, good and faithful servant, enter Thou into the joy of Thy Lord. We now dismiss from this portion of the service, leaving it in Thy hands, in Thy care and keeping, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.